Thanks very much, John. John, just you go through your wee book there and get a finisher for me. I'm being serious. You'll finish with one. Have we another song?
Sorry,
have we another song now?
No,
Oh, I work away. Well, it's good to be with you this evening. And David phoned me 2 weeks ago and said to me, Ollie, will you take the morning service and will you testify in the evening? So I'm here to testify this evening of God's saving power in my life and what he's doing in my life and what he has been, what he's done in my life and what he's doing in my life. I'm going to read one verse with you. I'm going to probably refer to several verses, but I want to read one verse with you. It's verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, and it says this: For I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. Father, we just come before you. I come before you this evening, Father. And Father, as I share what you have done in my life, Father, it's personal to me, Lord. It's mine, Father. Nobody can take anything away from it, Lord. Nobody can add anything to it, Father. And so, Father, as I share, Lord, how you've saved me, Lord, how you've kept me, Lord, how I've wandered, how you've brought me back and what you've been doing in my life, Father. I pray, Lord, that it touches hearts this evening. Not because of anything that Ali Colvin has done. Not because of, Lord, who I am. But all because of what you've done, Father. All because of, Father, the power. We sang about it in our opening hymn, the power of the blood that led me unto salvation. And Father, who I am in Christ Jesus. And Father, what you're doing in my life as a husband, as a father. Father, bless this meeting. Bless the words of the songs that we've heard. Bless the words of the songs that we've even sung, Father. And Father, I pray, Lord, that tonight, Father, if there's anybody that's unsaved, Lord, that they'll not leave the seat that they're sitting on. The seat that they're actually trusting to keep them up. Would they put their trust in you, Father, and not a piece of wood? That one day they'll rise up and be with us, Father, in the air, and to come back again, Lord, and to rule and reign on this earth. First, in Jesus' name I ask. Amen. I'll not need my glasses now. My name is Ali Colvin. I am the perfect child of five. I can say that because it was the last child. Obviously, the perfect child, you keep going, do you get the perfect child? John laughs, he must be the perfect child too. I wasn't born into a Christian home. But very early on in life, God was taking a dealing with my mother. And my mother, a great influence in my life. And she brought us along to tent missions. She brought us along to church missions. And really and truthfully, it was all because a neighbour up the road invited her out. A neighbour up the road took an interest in her life and in her family's life. And I'll say it, probably pestered my mother. Come out to the meeting. Come out to the mission. And prayed for my mother. And it's a bit like what I was sharing with you this morning. Had that woman not have done that, I might not have been standing here this evening. That name of the woman with Ethel Wilson. And I'm truly thankful for her. I have a father and mother. I have four older sisters. And we had moved into the Kuryx Road in Cookstown in 1981, just before, well, they had moved into Cookstown just before I was born, Kuryx Road, just before I was born. I was born there. I was born in the hospital. I wasn't born in the house. Like, I was born in the hospital, Marfelt Hospital, and then brought up on number 10 Kuryx Road for the majority of my life until I met my dear wife, and then we moved to 6 Mile Cross, just outside Omagh there. My mother, as you said, was brought along to missions by Ethel Wilson. And it wasn't long before my mother got saved. We were living in the house in the Kuryx Road for 3 years. And my mum got saved. She then started bringing us out to meetings, as I said. But my sisters were all grown up and they were at school. My two eldest sisters were at school. And my two youngest sisters, the twins, they were in P1. And I pottered about the house. I have a terrible short-term memory. Thank God that we're moving into cashless society. One, for we're going home soon. But two, I don't need to carry a wallet about with me. I just use my phone. It's a great job. If you haven't got on to using the phone yet, move along. Get the rapture happening. Move along. And I would forget my keys. I would forget my wallet. I would forget where I was going. But I have a great long-term memory. And I remember walking about the house at 2 years old, at 3 years old. But this one particular time, I was walking about the house. And I should tell you, actually, just before that, my mum done home help for a wee man called Dan in Spurn Court there in Cookstown. And you go in through the door, and you turn round to the right, and his house was on the left. It's a house, if you've been in those housing places for the elderly, they're rooms with a bedroom, a kitchen, and a living room, and a bathroom. And his was on the left-hand side, and he was a Roman Catholic, and he had a picture of Jesus. His seat was here at the back, and he had a picture of Jesus on that wall there, and his television was there. And I remember pottering about after my mummy, and she was cleaning the house and making him dinner and whatnot. And I remember seeing those three things. His seat, his name was Dan, the TV was there, and this picture of Jesus there. And you go in through that door there, it was the kitchen. Mum was in there making him his food. But as it said to you that my mother got saved, and this one particular time that we were at home, I was 3 years old. She was singing a song. She sings, my mother and father used to sing a lot. And she was singing a song, and I would sort of be like her. I would sing the words that I know and then make up words that I didn't know, or just repeat the song over and over and over. And she was singing, "Have you any room for Jesus? He who bore your load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in?" That's all she knew of that song. It's the first verse of that song. It's the redemption songs that we would have sung in Cookstown Baptist, number 120. That's all she knew. That's all she needed to know. Because at 3 years old, that song spoke to me. I followed my mother as every child does, follow their mother. You go in through the dining room and you turn left, it takes you into the hall, but you take an immediate right, it takes you into their bedroom. My mum never done this, but this particular day she closed the door as she was singing this song. And you see, the moment she closed the door, she was singing the words of the song, "As he stands, as he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in?" And God spoke to me. And I immediately thought of myself sitting in that chair that Dan sat in, that old man Dan. I thought of myself sitting in that chair, and this picture of Jesus. And this picture of Jesus, and I know it's a picture of Jesus, it's just a representation of him. But I felt him saying, "Will you let me in?" Not long after that, we were attending a Dick Saunders tent mission on the Moneymore Road. And it was in August, and it was the 15th of August, 1984. And this one particular day, it was a Thursday, my twin sisters weren't with us. It was just me and my mum. And we walked down this. There was a gravel pad into this blue tent, a big blue tent mission, down the Monimo Road on the right-hand side. Remembered very well. Couldn't take you to it now, but I remembered being there. And this man, Dick Saunders, was speaking. Now, I haven't a notion what he was talking about, but I remember God telling me I need to be saved. And I come out of that meeting and I was holding my mum's left hand with my right hand, walking along that pad. And I said, "Mummy, that man was speaking to me and I got saved." 3 years old. Shortly after that, it was a year after that. Shortly after that, my twin sister got saved. It was a Saturday night. And then after that there, about a year later, actually it was more than a year later, it was October of the year later, my father got saved. And I remember it well. I'm sitting in the back room, the back living room, and these young kids, he said, "Arne, you'll not even know what this is, a record player, this record player." And there was a cassette tape on it. And you had all these, it was Shakin' Stevens and all. And we used to play him at Christmas, the Christmas one, you know, it was a great record and all. But it had a cassette player in it, a cassette tape in it. And anybody that's in around my age will remember cassette tapes. They were the best thing. CDs were useless, hey, but these cassette tapes were brilliant. But it was a wee cassette tape that my mum had bought me out of the Faith Mission bookshop, and it was called Babushka. And it was about this woman going to meet baby Jesus, and God was speaking to her about going to meet this baby Jesus. My father had come in from work. He worked in the bacon factory there in Cookstown, and he cycled. And I used to run up to the top of the road and jump on his bike, jump on the middle part of the bike, and he used to cycle us home, or cycle me home, and he'd sit and he'd eat his dinner, and then he would, "See you later, alligator," and I would shout, "In a wild crocodile," and away he would go back to work. But this one particular day, Dad was crying. See, he was under conviction of sin. And at the breakfast, we called it a breakfast bar. It was this, I don't know if you still have breakfast bars or not. We have a table in our house. But this offshot piece of chipboard, about 40 mil thick, that my father had put up with a chrome pipe holding it up on one end and screws holding it in the other end. And he was sitting there, and my mum was sitting opposite it. And he was crying, and they says, "Ollie, go you back into the room, son. Go you back into the room." And I couldn't understand why my father was crying. But he was under conviction. And I went back in, and Babushka was on this cassette tape. I was listening to Babushka. And at that particular time, it was this man, and he was portraying God's voice talking to Babushka. And I went back out, and he says, "God's talking on the tape." And Dad told me he could save it. I says, "I'm safe too, Dad." All throughout our life, our young days, if you think it's hard going to church, you ready for this? Brethren, Sunday school in the morning, 10 o'clock. Cookstown Baptist Church, 11 o'clock. Cookstown Baptist Church, 3 o'clock, Sunday school. Blue Doors, Brethren Hall, 4 o'clock. Evening service. You're shaking your head. You must have done this too. Evening service, 7 o'clock. You went at 6:30. All of us went 6:30 at your age for prayer. After that, they were out singing. We went with them. Then we were dragged into singing. I love singing. They brought us up to sing as well. "Jesus, tender shepherd, hear me. Bless thy little lamb tonight." That's what we used to sing. Three of us, me and the two sisters. And Dad and Mum played the guitar. No, Dad played the guitar and Mum sang. So many times was that. 1, 2, 3. It was at least 5 or 6 times on a Sunday. Then on the Tuesday night, you were brought out to the prayer meeting as well. At your age. So we were well churched. Boy, we were well churched. Sat under a great man. Heard about the great truths of the Bible. Learned probably a lot more than what I'm learning now. Well, that's probably not true. All throughout school, I said it there in the, we were in the prayer meeting there just before. Where were you? Some of you were in the prayer meeting. And there was a wasp in the window. And who was it said to me? He says, "Will you kill that wasp?" And I says, "Well, I was a Bible basher at school, so I may as well live up to the name." So I went and I killed the wasp. Well, I was called the Bible basher at school. I was the Bible basher. And you see, if I had brought a Bible with me, I probably would have bashed them over the head for calling me. All throughout high school, I was the Bible basher. I was a wee religious boy, a wee saved boy. He's a wee saved Christian. It didn't bother me. It actually didn't bother me. All throughout school. At the bottom of Coolna Frankie Estate, which was where Cookstown Primary School, Cookstown Nursery School, Cookstown Primary School, and Cookstown High School, the three schools I went to, were all in the one place. And at the bottom of that estate was the old railway station in Cookstown. And there was a wee shop there. And Mrs. Bones owned this shop. And every Friday you were given 20p to go into the shop. That's what the twins got. I was given 10p because I was younger. To go into the shop and get your 10p mix-up and your sweeties. They used to get cola cubes and I used to get wee jelly sweeties. But every Friday I went in with a track or with a daily bread and I talked to Mrs. Bones and I would tell her that she needed to be saved. I used to tell all my teachers they needed to be saved. I used to give them track. I went into the convent there in Port Stewart and handed out tracks to all the nuns. I used to do all these things. I had more bravery back then as a kid. Why am I telling you this about Mrs. Bones? It's very important. I done that throughout my school days, every Friday. And that wee woman said to me one day, "You know, Ollie, I used to be saved." Mrs. Bones' shop closed. Years later, we had split. Cookstown Baptist had split. And we left and went to Coke. I fell off a motorbike. I'm skipping way past this here. I fell off a motorbike when I was 16. Dislocated, fractured my left elbow. I was in Lyon and Mid-Ulster Hospital. And Mum came in to me and she says, "Ollie, Pastor Humphreys is praying for you." I says, "Who's Pastor Humphreys?" She says, "Cookstown Baptist." I says, "Pastor, sure he doesn't know me." "Well, he's praying for you." And that spoke to me. This man never met me. He was praying for me. Well, you see, whenever I got out of hospital, I went to Cookstown Baptist. And I met this Pastor Humphreys, great friend of mine, him and Isa, very dear friends of ours. Well, do you know, lo and behold, who was attending Cookstown Baptist all these years later? Mrs. Bones. She could see it. She could see it. Now, nothing I had done. I don't know if she ever read any of the tracts. I'm not saying anything about myself, but what I'm saying is I was faithful and I give her these tracts. And maybe it did speak to her. I don't know. But Mrs. Bones was saved. Isn't that amazing? So what you do is significant. I started attending. Mum and Dad still went to Coke. I started walking down to Cookstown Baptist. All because this one man prayed for me. But then I got into bad company. I learned to drive. Girls came along. Man, you know what it's like when girls come along. And you get attracted by them. Well, I fell into bad company. I fell in with bad people. And I'm not going to tell you what I done. Let's just put it this way. I backslid for 2 or 3 years. I became that bad. I went off to Australia to get away from things. My life was a mess. I was going places I shouldn't have been. And you shouldn't have been there because I still went to church. And I fought a battle every week on a Sunday. Fought a battle. Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. And my own flesh. You know, we're so easy to blame the devil. But the Bible tells us it's our flesh. It's our flesh. Don't blame the devil for your sin. It's your own fault. My own flesh kept drawing me away. Spent time with people I shouldn't have been with. Done things I shouldn't have done. So I went off to Australia to get away from it. To get away from my so-called friends. I'm saying so-called friends because when I come back from Australia, not one of them wanted to know me because I says to them, boys, I'm not going out with you tonight. Boys, I'm not gonna do the things I've done. But while I was in Australia, my sister had given me this book. And it was a Christian book. And it was stories, it was testimonies. And I was reading this book, and I was walking along the beach there in Adelaide, the place that I was staying. The house was beautiful. The house was here, and you go just the other side of, say, where you are sitting, that's the back garden, and you're onto a walkway. The walkway leads out just through the foyer, and you're on the beach. And I used to walk that. And I'm walking along this beach, and I'm alone with God. And these testimonies are going round and round in my head. And I'm alone with God. And I'm being challenged about the things I was doing. And I couldn't run out then with the fellas, because they weren't there. I couldn't run out and do the things I was doing, because I wasn't here. I wasn't at home. And God brought me to Australia. And I'm thankful that he did, because he broke me in Australia. I came home from Australia, what I thought was depressed, but I was under conviction. I had spent several times in hospital, not in Australia, but because of this dislocated fracture off the motorbike. And this time I had to come back and go back into hospital again to get it reset. Mum gave me daily bread. I started to read it. And I come out of the hospital, and I was troubled, couldn't sleep at night. I told my friends, when my friends lifted me from the airport and all, I says, boys, I don't want to go out anymore. And you see, one by one, within about 2 weeks, they all forgot about me. So they weren't really my friends. But Mum was reading this book called, well, I don't know what it was called, but it was the life story of Joni Erickson, or Jody Erickson. I don't know if you've ever read it. This girl, and she was a champion diver, and she dived in to this lake one day, or this pond one day, and she hit her head off rocks, and she became paralyzed. But she was a Christian, and it was a story about her, and her story of how she went through troubled times and how God had pulled her out of it. I was compelled, and I was reading this story, and as I was reading this story, I was on my knees at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, because I couldn't sleep, crying to God, saying, "Why, God, why did you leave me? Why did you leave me?" I couldn't sleep. And I was going, and I was seeing the doctor, and I was getting sleeping tablets, and I thought I was depressed. My mother thought I was depressed. The doctor thought I was depressed. I was under conviction. Under conviction. It's a horrible place to be. Well, this went on for a few months. I wasn't working. So I was sitting at home with my thoughts all day long. Sitting at home with the Holy Spirit. I couldn't take it anymore. And one night, about 20 to 3 in the morning, I was on my knees, I was crying. I cried nearly every night. And I said it again. I says, "God, why did you leave me?" And you know what he said to me? "I didn't. You left me. If you turn around, I'm right here." So I did. Turned around. He wasn't physically there, but you know what I mean. He was there. He welcomed me back into his arms. Things started changing my life. I started reading my devotions again. I started becoming on fire for God. And I actually became the thorn in Ken Humphrey's flesh because I asked him question after question after question. I tortured that man. And at our wedding, he actually said that. He says, Ali Colvin became the thorn in my flesh. For I used to phone him straight as soon as we come home from church, I used to phone him. I says, Dr. Humphreys, could you explain that? What about this? I would send him emails. I would call around to the house. Thank God for Dr. Humphreys. Gracious man, dealing with me. Shortly after that, I found a new bunch of friends, Christian friends. And this wee girl was with these Christian friends one particular evening. We were up in the Odyssey, Bowling, for a girl's girl Leanne. It was her birthday. The whole squad of us were out. And this wee girl, this wee blonde girl was there. I'd never seen her before. And I was just back from a camping holiday in Wales. Me and Jeff Sloss and a few others. And it was a great time. It was a blessed time. We're all Christians. And we're up there walking along Snowdon. And come back from this holiday. You know what it's like when you're literally on top of the mountain, Snowdon. And you come back and you go back into work. And you're in the valley again. And she came over to me and she says, you all right? I says, I am. I'm just back from a holiday and just a really good time, but I'm now back into work and I'm listening to the boys in work and it's doing my head in. That wee girl was named Joanne. She's been raptured out with Ellie Joe there. She's out there in the crash. She's probably listening to me. Well, she fell in love with me. She'll tell you this herself. She fell in love with me. Not by looking at me. I had lots of hair back then. I had more hair back then. So she said, that probably helped. But by my laugh, she says, there's something about this boy's laugh. There was joy in my heart. And she wanted to know what it was. She wasn't saved. Well, Joe and me became friends because she started hanging about with all the friends that we were with. And we used to go to Dunamis, and we used to go to Market Felt there to the Lighthouse, and we used to go to Manna in Cookstown, and then you go to the sinful place called McDonald's and you'd eat rubbish. And instead of saying grace, I used to ask God to forgive me for eating the rubbish. And then you go to the port and you'd walk around the port and you'd eat ice cream. And see young days, boy, when you're young, it's great. Hey? And then you get a house and you get bills. And anyway, Joe was under conviction. And she asked me for my number, and I knew she wasn't saved, and I wasn't going to get caught into that trap again. I says, no. But she's very clever, you know, Joe. You know, you are very clever. She says to me, I'd like to detox, knowing that I was in the fitness industry. I'd like to detox. Could you give me a detox plan, a wee bit of exercise? I says, She says, I'll need your number. So she got my number. Then she started asking me questions about God. And then she started to meet with me and ask me questions about God. And this one particular Sunday, she called around to the house, and you'll have to forgive me, Joe, I've forgotten now what the date was. It was October, September 15th, maybe. 12th, 15th, can't remember. 2005. And she was around the house. She was in turmoil. And I knew it. And I said to her, Joe, she says, I'm going to go out for a spin in the car. I says, Joe, you go out for a spin in the car and you crash that car, you're going to hell. That's exactly where you're going. You're not going anywhere. You sit there till you get saved. I says, why didn't you come to church with me? She says, I can't. I can't move, Ollie. I'm scared to move. He says, that's all right, I'll go to church. So I left her sitting in my house, and I went off to church. And I went off up to the front, and Ken Humphreys had left. He had started Treasure Truth Today Ministries. And Harold Chambers was there. And I run up to the pulpit, and I says, Harold, there's a girl in my house, and she's going to get saved. And he says, well, Ollie, I'll preach and you pray. So I run back down. And I sat on the left-hand side of the church, and I don't even know what Pastor Chambers preached about that. I just prayed the whole time. And I got a text message through. Sorry for bringing my phone into church. I got a text message through. The pain is gone. Joe had got saved. Shortly after that, we started going out with each other. And then shortly after that, because I know time's passing, shortly after that, we got engaged. A year later, we got engaged. A year after that, we got married. And 2 years after that, we moved into the house we're in now. Ken Humphreys and Isa was down speaking at Cookstown Baptist. Now, we were travelling back and forth to Cookstown every Sunday, back and forth. Went down in the morning to go to church. Stayed at my mum's house for dinner. Mum and dad's house. Everybody used to call around to our house for dinner. And then go to church at night and then leave there and come home in the evening. But this one particular time, Mum and Dad were away. And they were away in the motorhome. And Ken and Isa, and I says, Ken, you'll come to our house for tea, for dinner. So he come up to our house. And he says to me these words, Ali, a young man like you should devote his time into doing something for God, into study at least. And he only found this out a few years back. I made a promise to God at that point. And I made a promise. I was 30. I says, God, you see, if I haven't done anything for you by the time I come 33, I'm doing it. Because you stopped your earthly ministry at the age of 33. And so I need to start something at the age of 33. I looked about for different colleges and met with Ken and talked about different things, and nothing seemed to fit, nothing seemed to gel, nothing seemed to work. God wasn't doing anything. We were the youth leaders of the church at the time. As with any youth leader, you interview your speakers before you get them to speak. I interviewed Johnny Ray, Pastor Ray, and I didn't interview him. I went to hear him speak. That's how I interviewed the speakers. Went to hear him speak, and I says, that's a good man. I'll get him up to the church. Got him up to the church to speak to the young people, and we hit it off. Boy, did we hit it off, Johnny and Carlina. Great folk. And spent nearly every week, one day a week or something like that, up at their house in New Mills. And Johnny used to say to me, Ollie, and this is what he used to do. He used to stand in front of me with his big hand and he used to go, see this here at my body. He says, there's something you could do for God and fitness. And he was going, get yourself on. And he was going, honestly, there's something you could do for God and fitness. There's something. I know there's something for you. And I used to start to panic, you know, because he said this once or twice. I thought, you know, that's all right. But then he started saying it nearly every time I met him. And I panicked. And I became like Jonah. At one particular time, I actually said to him, Johnny, I need to go because I need to lift Joe from work. He says, Ollie, she's not got her own car. I says, are you all right? He was challenging me. And in the back of my head, I didn't know what was happening. God was challenging me. I had climbed the ladder in my profession at the time, and there was only three of us in Northern Ireland. Sort of hit the peak, you know. You'd hit the peak there and you're working just in your career ladder, you know, as I thought. And I'm sitting in the office one day and God says to me, hey boy, you made me a promise. What age was I? I just turned 33. September 2014. Just turned 33. Johnny had been challenging me from that August. My birthday is on the 10th of August. And I broke down and cried. All right, Lord. What do you want me to do? It was just like that. About a week or two later. No, it wasn't. Beg your pardon. It wasn't. That's lies. It was 2 months later. 2 months later. Johnny says to me, Ollie, I teach Spanish up there in a ministry called Coaching for Christ in Ahogel. I says, never heard of it. He says, they're opening a gym. I says, right. He says, you're the man for it. I says, what? He says, they're opening a gym and you're the man for it. You're going to go and run it. I says, Johnny, I've literally just accepted this job. I'm at the top of my career ladder now. He says, Ollie, there's something you can do as fitness for God. And God says, he's right. So I battled with this for a month. I was around his house one Saturday night, and he said to me again, he says, will you come up and see Cheesy Crawford? I says, okay. He says, when are you free? I says, well, I'm not free that day, and I'm not free that day. And Joe says to me, Ollie, sure, there's nobody in. It's January. I looked at her and gave her the evil eyes. I was still being like Jonah, you know, running away from God. I says, you're right. Okay. We'll do it the Monday. We'll do it the Monday, Ollie. We'll go up there on the Monday. He sends me a message, or he phones me. He doesn't send, Johnny Ray doesn't send messages. He phones you, and he talks for a bit an hour. He phones me, and he says, Ollie, Cheesy and the gang are closed on the Monday, but they're open the Tuesday. I says, okay, we'll go the Tuesday. 6th of January, 2015. Drives up. I was shaking like a leaf. I couldn't drive. I says, Johnny, you may drive. He says, where's Joe? I says, she's at home. Get on the phone. Get her up here now. She's come with you. I says, what? She's come with you. I says, right. Phone Joe. Joe, you're come with us. Joe jumps into the wee Suzuki Swift and flies up the road. Up to New Mills. We gets in the car. Johnny drives. And he tells this story, you know. It's the first time he ever got into sixth gear. That was the last time I had a sixth gear car. Anyway, he didn't crash or anything. It's just it blew up. We drive up to Hockle. We goes in. Alan Dundas is sitting here. Cheesy Crawford's sitting here. Share your testimony. Shared my testimony. What's your name? My name's Joe. Joanne. Share your testimony. Joe was like, huh? Share your testimony. Share your testimony. And Johnny's sitting there all smiles, you know. And Cheesy says, this is my vision for a gym. God's told me to open up a gym. One round to show you around. As he was showing us around, he showed us the gym last. He was showing us all around the building there. Have you heard of Coaching for Christ? Great ministry. Great ministry. They reach over 5,000 kids. There's probably more now with the gospel. Going into different places. They're going into Indonesia this year. That's a new place for them. They're going into a couple of new places this year. And they use football as a means of spreading the gospel. What they do is they have tournaments, and it's well run. They have tournaments. They have a World Cup at the end of the week. But at half time, or at the end of a match, in between the next match, everybody, all the kids stop, gather around, share the gospel. So they can't get away because the kids are looking at the trophy, you know. Brilliant, brilliant concept. Anyway, tells us all about it. He says, Ollie, there's a wee woman from County Tyrone. He gave us 50,000 to buy gym equipment. I says, County Tyrone, I'm from County Tyrone. Really? Yep. I've interviewed 3 boys. They're not suitable. Come on in here. Went into this building, which was the gym. The roof was hanging, there was wires everywhere. I said, how's this going to be a gym? And there was old bikes sitting over where the TV would now be, over there, and Joe standing over here at reception area. And there was a man called Davis Weir come in and says, Cheesy, can I talk to you for a wee minute? Pulled him out like that there. And Cheesy says, excuse me, Ollie. And you see, the moment he walked away from me, the devil says to me, hey, boy, you'll not do this. You'll not give up your career. You'll not give up all that work. And I says, you think not? You see, if he hadn't annoyed me, I probably wouldn't have done it. But you see the fact that he says, you'll not do this. I says, yes, I will. Jesus, come over. I says, yes. The answer is yes. I went straight home. The next day I went into work, told my boss, gave me my month's notice. I went to all the private work that I was doing. I'm not taking any more classes for you. I'm not PTing anymore. And they said, would you not stay on? You know, you're going into ministry. People, you know, it's missionary. Do they not, are they not like, they don't get paid and all? Would you not keep us on? And I says, no, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this right. You see, because money had sort of become my God. And so I spent the next 9 years in Coaching for Christ. Our time's well gone. John, get that song ready. We've had blessed times in Unite Gym. So we work in Unite Gym from 2015 up until last June there. We're an ordinary gym. We function like an ordinary gym. We ended up with about 86% non-Christian coming into the gym. We trained up volunteers in the gym. We trained up, as I said this morning, some of those volunteers to actually go on ahead and get their qualifications. So we were a professional-run gym. We weren't just this wee, you know, Christian gym. We were a professional gym. Over 200 members. Financially secure. And we were reaching people. And people were saying to me, are yous not Christians? I says, aye. But you laugh. You're fun. I says, aye, why would I not? She said, I thought Christians were dear. I says, Christians are you looking at? Well, maybe they're not saved. But you have, you, there's something about you. Joe and I quickly learnt that we couldn't hammer it down their throat, because the Ballymena is the Bible Belt. It's the Bible Belt in Northern Ireland. They knew the gospel. We had to live it. We had to show them Christ through our actions. These people were in our lives day in, day out. We lived in a huckle. We lived right beside the gym. Day in, day out. They seen us inside the gym. They seen us outside the gym. Never seen me in Ballymena because I didn't know how to get past Galgorm. Seen Joe in Ballymena. Well, they watched us. And they watched us. They watched us in the hard times. They watched us in the good times. Because we sat after about 2 years and we says, God, why is there nobody getting saved? What are we doing wrong? God says, you don't save them. I save them. You just be faithful. And you see that moment of clarity. You just be faithful. Just do what you're doing. Boys, breakthrough started to happen. Breakthrough started to happen. I have a letter. There's many, but I'm gonna sort of finish with this one. I have a letter that I got in 2017, Christmas of 2017, from a guy that we sat. I used to travel up and down for the first year and a half from Oma, 6 mile cross to Hockle. Used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, travel up there, open up the gym, stay there, close the gym, 10 o'clock, to the public. Clean up the gym, leaving the gym at 10:30, sometimes 11. But there's one particular guy on a Wednesday night, and it used to be like so frustrating. I was like, please, don't you just get it? Cried with him, counseled him, talked to him. Snapshot of this letter, December 2017. I was ready to walk away from God. Only for yous. That was all I needed. That was all I needed. That was confirmation that I was doing what God had asked me to do. And I was being fulfilled. COVID came. The building went up for sale. COVID relaxed. The doors opened. The gym took a wee bit. It was hard for a wee while. And financially, we weren't secure and it was touch and go, but we persevered through it. But Joe and I made this prayer to God, and we says, God, if you want us to stay in this building, the person that buys this building will want to keep us. Now, several people came and looked at the building and says, Oh, I like this building. We like this building. And this wee gym, that gym can stay. And we were like, brilliant, no problem, brilliant. Jo got pregnant. And Ellie Jo was born in September 2022. I then was by myself. I had my volunteers, but Jo was the right-hand woman. And I was by myself, and even though the house that we lived in was just beside it, was just around the corner, you're running back and forward. And it was a good time. I'm not complaining. But there was a wee bit more added pressure because I was by myself. And, well, these people come in looking at the gym. March time. Sorry, looking at the building. We had sort of taken over the whole building. Coaching for Christ and sort of moved out. Looking at the whole building. I would like this building. Come back with a couple of our men. Weeks went on, months went on. More men come in, surveyors come in. Like, these boys are buying this building. Yeah, any word on us? And the very finish up, it was, we're buying the building. We want the whole building. The gym can leave. Now, we had said, God, remember? God, if you want us to stay, the building will stay open and we'll stay in a hockle. If you want us to leave, the building will close and we'll leave a hockle. And that was our gut feeling. It was time to leave Coaching for Christ. Doors of that building closed in the end of June last year. And took the whole summer off. It was great. Took the whole summer off. Met with a few people to see what it was going to do. Nothing came of it. Still waiting on God. Still waiting to see what's next, God. What's next? As I said this morning, God saves you to serve, not just to sit there. Some people have a greater capacity than others. I'm waiting on what's next, because I made a promise to God at the age of 30. I'm doing something for you at the age of 33. And that started. And God will complete it. I'll not complete it. God will complete it until he calls me home or he comes and takes me home. My life's amazing. Why? Because I have a beautiful daughter, a beautiful wife, I have a great family, and I'm loved by God. That's amazing. If you're not saved, you can be loved by God. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Because there's power in it. Power to save me and you. John.